Please go ahead, sir. The call is now being recorded.
Thanks. So, as always, welcome everyone to this HSTLD Advisor Group conference call. Before we get started, I'll go ahead and acknowledge folks that are on the phone. We've got Mikey O'Connor, Dave Piscitello, Paul Smosher, Jonathan Frakes, John McElwain, Lynn Goodendorf, and myself, Craig Schwartz. I do note that our chairperson, Michael Plage, is not present, and I've tried to reach him, so perhaps he'll be dialing in shortly. Jonathan, you asked if we're going to be using Adobe Connect for this, and I don't know that I wasn't planning to. Really, all we have to work with is the document that I circulated to folks late yesterday afternoon, which is basically the summary of draft responses to the questions that have been received on the RFI. Does everybody have a copy of that?
Yes, and thank you for answering.
I'll take silence as yes. So yesterday, late afternoon, I sent around an agenda or purposes for today's call. Those being primarily to review the questions and the proposed responses that we've received, the questions that we received on the RFI and the draft responses that at least ICANN staff took the first pass at pulling together, to also agree on a process and a timeline to potentially modify some of the responses. Third, to agree on a proposed date for a call with those who submitted questions if one is considered to still be of value. And what that third item relates to is when we amended the announcement about the RFI, we also added that we might have something like a bidder's call where folks that had submitted questions could get on a line together and we could, as the advisory group, have a discussion with the respondents about the questions. The intent would not be to answer new questions on the fly, but rather just to spend a little bit more time on the questions that we already answered. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, sorry for being late, everyone. I was just tied up. But anyway, I'm here, and I apologize for being late.
No problem, Michael. I was just running through the agenda that I had sent around late yesterday afternoon along with the draft set of responses to the questions. And I was just talking a little bit about this proposed bidders call that we talked about having and that we announced in the posting about the RFI. Those are the three items. The fourth item is any other business. Is there anything that anybody would like to bring up now as something we should spend some time on today?
I have no contributions. I think those the three things that you've outlined there are good. So let's hop in and begin, unless you have any objections.
No, I'll gladly turn the call back over to you as the chair and chime in as you would like.
Well, what I would do is I would sort of let perhaps staff, if you want to, since staff prepared this document, if they'd like to perhaps go through and explain, it's only, 7 pages long, the document. So if you'd like to perhaps just go through, explain what you were, your approach to it.
Right.
I'd have no problem with that. So.
Okay. So I'll start off, and Dave Piscitello can certainly chime in at any time. So as everyone knows, we sought out questions on the RFI, and we did get responses from six folks, and for a total, I think it was 32 questions overall, but two were duplicates, so I didn't list those. What I did personally was take the first pass at responses based upon my involvement with the advisory group and where I thought we were as a group, but also obviously wearing my ICANN staff hat and some interpretation of the board resolution from their retreat in September. So I took the first pass. Dave Piscitello and I then reviewed it together and made some subsequent changes. And then yesterday afternoon had a meeting with Kurt Pritz and Dan Halloran to further review and tweak some of the language. And so what you have before you is kind of the final product, the final draft product before discussion with you, the advisory group members. I think from the last call, there certainly has been some discussion and some concern about the board resolution. And what I tried to make clear in the introduction and throughout the answers to some of the questions is that there is commitment on the part of ICANN to continue efforts around mitigating malicious conduct in new GTLDs. And just because it says it's not going to be the issuer of the seal or the signer of the program, it doesn't mean that it doesn't support its concept. So as you'll see, kind of riddled throughout the answers are an attempt to talk about how and where the concept might continue to be developed and what ICANN's role and the advisory group's role could be in advancing that work. So I don't know, maybe what we ought to do is just kind of go through question by question, and I'm not going to read the question or the answer, but if there are specific comments that folks on the phone have about the proposed response, then why don't we take them one at a time, and I'll hold the pen to tweaking this, or at least redlining it and circulating it back around for another discussion if we feel like one's warranted. Does that sound like a reasonable approach?
Yeah.
That sounds fine. Craig, just a quick question. With regard to ICANN's quote-unquote commitment to this project, there was the one email, I think it was by John, about his review of the board briefing materials. I myself went through a lot of the materials, the minutes, and there was not a lot of discussion of the HSTLD that I was able to find, and I really couldn't find any reference to the legal concerns. It kind of, the first time anyone sees it really appears to be in the resolution itself when they're talking about the liability. One of the things I was thinking about doing was perhaps sending in a communication to the Board Governance Committee, since I have filed a reconsideration request, and asking for a little more information. I guess perhaps do you know of where the quote-unquote where there may be material or anything else regarding this legal liability that we're missing? There appears to be some discussion or something that led to that, the terms of that resolution, and I'm just really at a loss to figure out where that concern arise. Could you shed any light? Do you have any light based upon your discussion with legal counsel yesterday, JJ and Dan?
Yeah, so yesterday's discussion was really focused on these very specific questions. I actually don't have any more information about what happened in that board discussion than you do. Asking the question, as you just said, you might of the board governance committee, might be a good way to go about getting access to it.
Okay, and as I said, I appreciate that. It's just there just appears to be some missing links in the logic, and I think it would be helpful because again, I think there's obviously a commitment among those people on the call to sort of get this done. So, quick question again, and my apologies for joining late. Can you give me a rundown of who we got on the call today?
Yeah, sure. We have Mikey O'Connor, Dave Piscitello, Paul Smosher, Jonathan Frakes, John McElwain, Lynn Goodendorf, you and me.
To the hardcore people.
Pretty much.
the hardcore HSTLD junkies. So, as I said, perhaps, I mean, I glanced through this document briefly yesterday. You know, what I'll do is we have about 40 minutes left here. If there is no objection, I would like to try to perhaps go through it one at a time. So again, the first question, everyone, is in ICANN's request, it states that ICANN would maintain a list of approved evaluators and retain oversight and authorship of the HSTLD control elements. And what we have here is a potential program is being explored by ICANN in coordination with the HSTLD group. The viability of such a program is currently under review. Therefore, while the RFI includes ICANN would maintain a list of approved evaluators and retained oversights, this was conceptual thinking when the RFI was drafted. I agree with that. Is there anyone else that I think that's a very accurate description or a response to that question? Any objections from anyone? John, Dave, Paul, Mikey, Lynn?
No, I agree. And I think it actually kind of points out why, Michael, you've raised some questions, because it is puzzling to me, you know, this last decision by the ICANN board, because it just on the surface seemed contradictory to the path that we all set out on. Because from the very beginning, I thought the intention was that there would be some type of endorsement by ICANN. So anyway, I just want to reinforce, Michael, that I appreciate your efforts, and I appreciate the questions you've raised, because it has frankly, like, surprised me.
Okay. Thanks, Lynn. So anyone else or on question one? Or what we could do is move into question two, which I think is dovetails into that one as well. And question two talks about how does ICANN anticipate continuing oversight and authorship of the HSTLD control elements, and the proposed response that ICANN has proposed is the following: working with the HSTLD evaluators, ICANN could envision continuing some level of involvement HSTLD control elements through ongoing collaboration with the HSTLD advisory group or some other community-based working group that might be established to support the evolution of the control elements. So again, that is the response that I think I think that is the proper response, and consistent with our work to date. Again, would have a little difficulty reconciling that with the board resolution, but I agree that this is probably the more proper response, and therefore I would support it. Is there any objection to that?
Hey, Michael, this is John. Do we need to come out and say that, because we're clearly not addressing the issue of authorship, that is not clear right now? I mean, we're kind of dancing around it in these answers.
I think that's part of what perhaps we are dancing around it, but. Do you have perhaps a different approach, or what would you, how would you perhaps change, or what would your recommendation be to change it, enhance it, or modify it?
I mean, I think part of it may lie in the conversation that was had in developing these answers, but is, you know, so I'd be kind of curious to see if there was any discussion in the development as to addressing the authorship issue at least. Then if there was any discussion, do we just put in a sentence that says, you know, the issue of authorship has not yet been decided, and you know, the working group has requested clarification from the board, something to that effect. I just feel like we're not answering the questions that are being posed to us on the authorship issue. I think we are on the oversight issue.
Please join in there, Craig.
Yeah, so authorship, you know, to me, authorship is the group, you know, primarily holding the pen to the document, and that sounds like it belongs in whoever the development body is. You know, this outside independent organization that would potentially run the program, it seems like they would hold the authorship to the control elements. But question number one talks about how. The answer to number two talks about how the group and how ICANN would continue to be involved. So I don't know. I guess authorship does sound a little bit settled to me in terms of who holds the pen, but it sounds like there's got to be this collaborative effort to provide input, you know, to those elements.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think the awkward thing here is that how can we issue an RFP as a next step if ICANN is not really going to really have authorship? Because to me, the indication that we've gotten here recently is that ICANN doesn't really want to own this kind of seal or certifying program. And so then it would just be up to people in the marketplace to decide if they wanted to develop some kind of seal or certifying program, in which case I don't know how ICANN could, you know, have any say in the selection of controls or how the framework is established. Because if ICANN's not going to author it and not going to provide any kind of financial funding, I think the more practical matter may be about money and, you know, who would actually invest to start this up. And that's a whole different matter from any kind of legal liabilities. But anyway, there's a big question in my mind about how can we possibly proceed with an RFP. It doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Okay, and put it this, if I could perhaps elaborate on Lynn's concern, Craig, it's much like the, if you will, the RSTEP or even the consensus policy that are incorporated into the registry agreement. Although that document provides the ability for a contracting party to be bound by something, the oversight of the RSTEP process or the consensus process still rests within the ICANN, if you will, umbrella. And I think speaking from what I've seen within the group, there has always been the intent to retain those elements within the ICANN umbrella and not sort of turn the keys over to somebody. So, you know, my interpretation of what the group has done over the last years is we're not looking to sort of take the keys and, you know, say, okay, here you go. We pick Deloitte or we pick KPMG. Here are the keys. Go out and run the program and, you know, we'll sort of keep an eye on it. I think the group has always viewed that the ICANN community would keep some type of, if you will, active stewardship over those control elements. just like, you know, we did in actually initially creating them. That's, I think, my view, and I think, Lynn, did that perhaps articulate your concern?
Yeah, I think that shed some light on it, but I'm still struggling to visualize how we would do an RFP. I guess maybe I'm just trying to think ahead.
Hey, Mike.
All right.
Mike,
go ahead.
Can I throw in my two cents on this one, too?
Please, as always, after Paul, if there's anyone else, so Paul, you have the floor now, and anyone else, just raise your hand afterwards. And Craig, perhaps you and Dave could just listen and perhaps formulate a response. So, Paul, you have the floor right now.
As I think of this question, and this is trying to get to Lynn's question as well, I guess, there are really a couple of key components here, right? One is that we have a body of requirements that exist today against which an evaluation program could be built. So one component of asking the likes of KPMG or others is simply to say, can you create a service where against this set of requirements you go out and evaluate a TLD and provide, you know, some sort of report or response on adherence to those requirements. And arguably, in my mind at least, we could issue an RFP today that speaks just to that component. There is obviously, however, as there is in any of these types of requirements slash seals slash certification programs, this question of things change over time, ergo your requirements are going to change over time, and that I think is where we're getting into the debate of what role will ICANN play in that, what role will the evaluation firms play in that, and what role will the community play in that going forward. And that's the question I think we haven't gotten resolved. I don't think at this point it's a question of resolution around at least this core group wanting to see the program advance, wanting to see how an evaluation program might be established around what we have today, and having kind of these kind of leaders in the field in those kind of programs respond to that. So as I think of maybe the answer to that question, you know, maybe there's some part of the answer that we put in there that says, you know, right now we're really focused on an evaluation program based on the current set of requirements. We recognize that those requirements will need to be modified over time. That's where we have this kind of lingering question and what we anticipate is, and then go into the answer that's there today.
Thank you, Paul. Is there anyone else that, Mikey, do you want to speak on this?
Yeah, I kind of want to pick up right at the end of that paragraph that John just did and say that I think we've got sort of a decision that's in various stages of the making, and it's too bad that the board added another variable to that, but there you go. And I think one way to get out of this dilemma that we're in right now might be to essentially sit at the very top of this document and say what was it John that was just speaking or Paul? I mean, if,
that was Paul.
Paul.
Who was just speaking?
It was Paul. Sorry, Paul. Is to say, look, we're really interested. We the advisory group are really interested in your opinions about a lot of these issues. We reserve the right to change our mind. We've come up with a straw man that's in the RFI that we really want you to take a look at and give us your feedback on. But a lot of the questions that you've raised are as yet undetermined, partly by us and then partly by this complexity of the board decision. And so instead of trying to actually answer the questions, a lot of these, my reply would have been, good question, give us your thoughts. tell us the pros and cons of the various options that you can see, because we're still trying to make up our mind as a group. And that gets us off the hook of actually trying to answer some of these, especially these early ones where we do have all this complexity with the board decision, because we can say, look, you know, this is, it's complicated. We think it's a great question. We'd really like to hear from you. So that was sort of, I read them all. I have some comments towards the end of the list, but I bet we don't get to them today. But in general, I think that the key thing is not to try and answer these questions quite as definitively as we do, but rather acknowledge that we're still trying to make up our minds and we're looking for their thoughts.
All right. Thank you, Mikey. Craig, Dave, based upon that collective feedback, does that sort of change your mind, or do you have a better feel for the concerns of the group and how that might either be reflected in this question or during the consultation session we're proposing to have with the respondents in the near future?
Yeah, Mike, if I could actually just respond to the comment Mikey just made. I mean, one of the things that Dave and I have heard from folks like Graham Thornton and others who didn't necessarily submit written questions but actually called us and asked to have a phone call or have just kind of made a statement that, you know, the level of effort required to answer the questions that are in the RFI is what we're hearing, almost too significant without any guarantee of future work or a program at all. So what I think we're going to wind up receiving to the RFI, you know, is the 30,000-foot level view responses to some of the questions. But my sense is we're not going to get a lot of detailed questions, a lot of detailed answers to those questions that are in the RFI. I think if we go back to them and don't even answer some of these basic questions and ask them to propose answers, you know, propose solutions to us, I think that we're probably going to turn people away or turn people off from submitting anything at all. I mean, I do feel like we need to be able to put a basic answer to all of these questions in some form, which is what we've attempted to do. But I don't think we can go back to them and say, what do you think?
This is Mikey. Let me just respond to that, and then you can respond to the rest of the points that we've made. I think the tricky bit is that embedded in a lot of your answers are decisions that the group hasn't made. And so if, in fact, you want detailed answers to the question, then I think we as a group need to make those choices before you write them.
Well, that was the purpose of the call, right, Mikey?
Right. And so, you know, I just want to make it clear that if you want to hit those dates, I don't think it's possible to hit those dates if, in fact, you expect the group to have thought about and analyzed and concluded on all the points that you make in these answers. So you've got a trade-off in front of you there. I understand, you know, having bid on these things, I understand the 30,000-foot problem, so I'm sympathetic, but, you know, that's just one of the many moving parts.
And perhaps to join in here, I think the whole purpose, Craig, of what we were trying to do with this document is to make a fact-based determination, because we, the group, have done a lot of work, both with originally with Andy and then continuing with you and Dave, on this document, and sort of refining some of the finer points was what the purpose of this RFI was. It was going to empower us to make the, if you will, final set of recommendations. It is, I don't want to say, it's somewhat of a chicken and egg scenario. So,
right.
perhaps what we could do here, and again, in the interest of time, I would like to try to get through these questions today so that we can continue to move forward and notwithstanding some of the delays, stay as close to the original timetable as possible. So what I'd like to do is if we could just jump ahead to, I guess, the next question, which talks about the use of owning or issuing a seal. And again, the response here is ICANN. Well, is there any objections before moving on to the next question from anyone? Okay.
You're saying about moving on to the seal, Mike?
Yeah, I'm moving on to question four, unless you want to talk about question three.
Question four is exactly what I would like to talk about.
All right. So question four, since you've not yet spoken, I will give you the floor first. Anyone else that may have a question regarding four, please get queued up and wait in line. So you have the floor. Go ahead.
The group can pine in if this is obtuse, but I did want to let folks know, Mike, I sent this to you personally and then I sent it to the group. This is Jonathan speaking for the recording. I sent sort of an amicus curiae, if I'm using the legal term right, on your reconsideration request regarding the board outcome. And I really focused in on the concept of this seal or logo slogan being fundamentally important and essential to this HSTLD concept, that just like the ICANN accredited registrar seal and program have contributed a lot of consumer trust to registrars, that something similar, this program would benefit immensely from that, and also conversely would be detracted from significantly if there weren't some form of seal. And I just sent that to the list this morning. But it's something that I had filed, sort of submitted as a reconsideration, complimentary to your reconsideration request, Mike.
All right. And as I said, it seems like our emails path crossed there. And as I said in my follow-up email, or I guess my email that I think may have cross paths with yours, is that any member that does contribute, just as I did in my original communication, just to make sure that the entire group is always in the loop. So I appreciate that, and perhaps.
I do want to, Mikey. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I do want to apologize to the group that I didn't CC that or to send this sooner. Because a couple of days have transpired since I sent that originally.
Not a problem. As I said, open and transparency, we're fine, and appreciate I appreciate your contribution. Again, getting to the best outcome is what we're all looking for here. Craig, is there any way, and this comes back to, again, the ownership, which has sort of legal implications, is there any way that we perhaps might be able to speak with the legal staff that appears to, again on this, saying we will not own it? I would assume that's not a Dave or a Craig call, but was that text was probably more likely authored by the general counsel or assistant deputy general counsel. Is that a fair assessment? On this issue here?
Well, it's an assessment that the language didn't come from Dave or me. that's fair. In terms of trying to set up a call with legal staff, I could certainly propose that on behalf of the advisory group.
Okay. As I said, this issue of, as I said, a seal, and this is something that John, I don't know if you've ever done any work with sort of the what is it, the the trademarks regarding seals or communities, you know, and have any experience in that area. I don't know if you do. I guess I'm asking that question. Do you, John, have any sort of experience with trademark seals or anything like that?
Yeah, certification marks, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so perhaps you may sort of shed a little light on – I mean, do you have a concern or any insight that you think you would be able to share with the group? Because I do think this definitely goes to the root of some of the legal concerns that have been expressed, at least in what we're looking in the white ashes that rise from the board resolution. So perhaps you may want to contribute here.
Yeah, well, without researching it on its basic level, it does make sense. If you're certifying that, you know, a product will meet certain standards and it doesn't, you, on its face, could be subject to liability. I would have to research the, which wouldn't take long. I'm glad to kind of do a little bit of Hornbook McCarthy research and shoot it out to the group as to liability relating to certification marks when one of your products or services doesn't live up to that certification. But it makes sense that there is some level of liability there. I just can't quantify it for you on the fly.
No, and put it this way, I was actually totally drawing a blank on this, the certification mark classification. I was, like, going through 2D, 2E. I was going through all these other lovely sections of the Lanham Act. So, yeah, I mean, perhaps I think that is something that if staff does provide us the ability to interact with the general counsel, that type of response would definitely be appreciated. I would as well. Is there anyone else, and again, in trying to sort of pick up the speed here, anyone else that has a concern there with that question on the regarding the the seal, or have we touched that?
This is Mikey.
Go ahead,
if I
Mikey.
Get in.
Yeah,
I think that the other question, maybe for Craig to run back up the chain on, is how broad or narrow is the concern at the ICANN level? Is it just the liability issue that sort of came out of the board thing, or is it broader, saying, you know, we really don't want to be in this business, and we'll use liability as the excuse to get out of it? You know, I'm not sure whether this is going to the GC is the right place. I guess that's what I'm wondering, is whether we need to go either to the chair of the board or to the CEO, because it sort of matters whether this is a business decision or a legal decision. So it would help on that front.
Anyone else that would like to get in on this one before just turning it over to Craig?
Michael, this is John. I think one of the things that we've all been struggling with is what is ICANN's involvement going to be? And clearly they said they're not going to endorse or certify or manage this. They want to hand it off to a third party. But if it is going to be that they have no involvement in this process, then I'm at a loss, and maybe this is just, you know, the cynical lawyer in me. Why are any of these people that have shown some interest even concerned with our opinion? I mean, they should just be able to institute a program themselves. I think that all ICANN has some unstated yet thoughts of being involved in the process. Perhaps it is that we are considered, quote-unquote, the owners of the standards because we've drafted them, and that those will be turned over to our selected entity, but that we will maintain some sort of ownership rights so that there is some level of involvement. That, again, it may be too legalistic, but that from a lawyer's perspective, and I think I'm maybe echoing Lynn's comments, I'm having a hard time, answering some of these questions. Later on, it becomes not an issue. But right now, some of these initial questions, I'm struggling with how they're answered because I don't understand what my role is and me being us as a group in a broader sense.
All right. Thanks, John. Craig, Dave, do you appreciate – has this been helpful or not?
Yeah, it's been helpful. I mean, it's not – you know, I think some of these very points were raised on last week's call. You know, back to a comment that Lynn made at the beginning of the call and – with regard to the board resolution, you know, I understood, and I wasn't part of the, I wasn't in the board meeting, but I understand what I read here. I think that the use of the word endorse may have been maybe not a good choice of words, in the sense that, you know, we do envision to continue to be part of this process. I mean, we are more the DNS community than some of the other existing standards organizations that have done, you know, we're the DNS people, but they may be the operational and finance and systems standards development bodies. So, I mean, I think there's an ongoing role for ICANN to be part of that process without us having to own it. What that looks like and how it comes together, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done. I know that Dave has shared some ideas, you know, personally with me on this, and maybe you want to make a few comments about that now, Dave, or maybe it's something you'd rather just circulate to the list when it's a little more baked.
Well, this is Dave. I'll sort of give you a high-level overview of you know, a technology person's view of how to try to find a solution out of this. When I was looking at the whole set of control elements in the snapshot, it occurred to me that the vast majority of them fell into two categories. One was the ISO 27000 family, and the other were very domain industry specific. And quite honestly, most of them came from me collaborating with Andy. So one thought that I had was that if there's a concern about about the breadth of the undertaking and the cost of the assessment and the cost of the auditing, perhaps one way forward is to decompose the program into things that are already audited by companies like Ernst & Young and PricewaterhouseCoopers and that fall into the ISO 27000 family and have a set of criteria that are based on a registry going out and acquiring a certain set of industry or reference standard auditing and compliance certifications, not necessarily directly from ICANN, and then work with a reference standards community to see if we can come up with someone who actually agrees that the control elements that I and Andy put together are appropriate and can in fact be auditable in a very discreet and empirical manner, and we define them as perhaps another element of the family, and then the certification program becomes something that is a checklist similar to what I think I'm trying to remember who Evan perhaps had mentioned as a way of providing a report card or other visible mechanism where what you have is the registry satisfies ICANN's registry agreement, so he gets a checklist for that. He satisfies the ISO 27000 family for all the general assessment that is already done today, gets a checklist for that. And if that's all he wants to do, well, that's a better measure of confidence than what we have today. If he wants to go further and he wants to get an assessment for these very DNS-specific criteria, then he gets three checks. There's also, in my mind, a successor delegation to the registrar, where we have similar set of constructs. You comply to the RIA, you comply to 27,000, and you comply to whatever the appropriate criteria for that the registry has actually imposed on a registrar in order for you to assert that the chain of trust and the chain of confidence innates from the registry down to the registrars who are going to process registrations on his behalf.
Okay, and Dave, I thanks for sharing that, and it almost sounds like a little bit of a report card. You've ticked this box, tick that box, so that's an approach that I personally find somewhat interesting. Is there anyone else that would like to contribute on that one?
This is Mike.
Go ahead, Mikey.
Jump in late. I think that the model that Dave is proposing is certainly worth discussing, but it begs the question that we've been chewing on, which is, do we even really have a mandate to think about stuff like that? I think we need some clarity from the board and the general counsel as to whether we're even in this business. I'm pretty much in the same camp that the others. You know, Lynn, I think, said it best. I mean, we need to know where we're at before we even start thinking about stuff like that, because if we don't have a mandate to think about it, then I think it's better to just fold the tent and call her done.
So, Mike, this is Dave. Can I just respond to that? I mean, one reason why I started thinking about this was because I was trying to understand, what might be the right way to approach the board for reconsideration. And I find it much more helpful to go and ask somebody to reconsider something if you've got an alternative proposal that might be more palatable. And so my idea was essentially that. And if it doesn't look like it could work, then that's fine. But I don't know whether we get a mandate by just from the board. And this is a very personal comment. By simply going and saying we disagree. I think that it's always easier to approach 20 reasonably intelligent people with an alternative.
And put it this way, Dave, if I could interject there. I totally agree. Providing a solution is a much more constructive alternative, and that was one of the reasons of my filing the reconsideration request. Is I'd like this group to finish its work to perhaps make that recommendation before sort of having the board resolution. So I totally agree with your approach that allowing this group to do its work and put forward a recommendation is the preferred path. It is the path consistent with the bottom-up consensus-driven approach enshrined in the ICAM model. So I totally agree with everything. The point of the reconsideration was not just to criticize, but to allow us as a group the time necessary to finish our work. So, I just want to do a quick time check here. We are now 1 hour into the call. We've gotten through a third of the way through the document. Here is what I would propose, and I know some of you, Paul, you had mentioned you had a tight schedule as well. What I'd like to do is perhaps spend another 10 minutes trying to get through a couple of other questions, and then what I am proposing is the following. So as not to delay the release of this document. After today's call, I would like the group to share any comments they may have in connection with the remaining proposed answers within the next 24 hours. And then that would allow ICANN staff to post this document by the end of Friday. So, Craig, would that proposal to move this discussion, hard code it with a 24-hour time clock, be consistent with ICANN's original intent to have this document posted, you know, sometime this week? Would that be an acceptable resolution?
When you say posted, Michael, what does that mean to you?
I would assume that these are the – we're going to provide these responses to the – this is going to be something that goes to the respondents, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Is it going to be publicly posted? Sorry.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jonathan. I guess that was my question, is if we, the group, are going to be responding to the respondents, this to me seems that needs to somehow be publicly posted in the HSTLD or as an addendum to the original RFI. That was my thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why we wouldn't post it on the HSTLD information page like we have everything else. I think it first should go to the respondents in advance of a call if we proceed that way, and then get posted.
Okay. So again, my question is, if we were to use the next, say, 24 hours to again provide a short forced window for members to comment or give you in day feedback, would that allow you to send this? What was your original intent on sending this? Were you going to send this document right after the meeting today? Was it something you were intending in your timeline to send this week? So if you send this Friday, is that acceptable in your original window of when you wanted to get back to respondents?
Yeah, you know, Michael, I didn't have a hard and fast date simply because I didn't know when I would get ICANN staff to focus on this, given the board retreat coming up at the end of this week. I also didn't know how long it might take this group to really have the discussion it needs to have and work on the answers that it feels good about. So, I mean, getting something to respondents by Friday, I think, is probably a little bit faster than I had originally expected. But if we want to keep this moving along, then that's okay too. I mean, certainly no later than early next week. You know, one of the things that we really needed to talk about was when are we gonna host this call for, you know, the six folks that wrote in. You know, if we even feel a call is still needed, we could very similarly distribute the answers. And because the group is so small, we could consider it done. I don't know if that's necessarily the right approach. I'm just kind of
throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I guess my approach here is I think it was originally discussed that we would have one or two representatives attempt to be the principal spokesperson. So I think coordinating any call with the respondents is in large part I think going to tie into the availability of I think Paul, who I volunteered graciously to be one of the spokespersons for that element. So obviously we're going to have to work around Paul's schedule and as well as mine. I think before doing that, though, as far as a sequential step, what I'd like to propose here is I really do want to get this document done sooner as opposed to later.
I agree with you.
So what I would like to do is perhaps what I will do is I will allow the group till the end of Friday to provide any feedback to the specific questions. That will then allow ICANN staff Monday to incorporate and then perhaps send it out first thing Monday to the respondents. Regarding next steps, at least my takeaway from today's call is – we, the groups, still are struggling with where we fit in the bigger HSTLD mosaic in light of the board action. And I really do think it would be helpful to have that interaction with ICANN Legal, and perhaps maybe to follow up with some questions to the board about what they mean, because I think it would be counterproductive to have a call with respondents where we, the members of the group, are not firmly, firmly based in where we are and where we're going. Without that clarity from, I think, ICANN General Counsel, as well as the board itself, that potential call would probably do more harm than good. And in light of the resolution that some people think has caused harm, I don't want to make a bad situation worse. That is my opinion. That's my opinion. What I'd like to do right now is, again, since we're wrapping up the call here, just from a timing standpoint, as sort of normal course, I would like to go through the members on the call and see whether that proposed approach over the next week or two is acceptable to the members. So let's just start off. Lynn, comments, suggestions, or proposed edits? Floor is yours.
Could you refresh my memory on when the RFI responses are due? What was the deadline?
The deadline is the 23rd of November.
Okay. And did I understand correctly, Michael, that you're proposing that like on this question and answer draft that Craig put together for us, that we submit any comments we have within the next day?
I'm going to give it to the end of the week. So that would be
to the end of the week.
End of the week.
That's fine with me, and I do agree that we need to get on with it and not have an extended delay in sending responses back to those people. So I agree with that. Yeah.
And then just one further point. The agreement about perhaps having a call with ICANN General Counsel to, if you will, firm up our position and before having that next call. So basically what I would envision is a group call with ICANN General Counsel to get clarification on these outstanding legal issues as well as the board resolution. And after that call, that would be a prerequisite to the call with the vendors, which I think Paul, myself, would, and Craig/Dave would participate in. So
I think that's appropriate because, again, I mean, at this point, based on this board action as it's been communicated, I would not feel like we had really even authorization to issue an RFP. So so I think it's certainly appropriate that we need to have some clarification about what's the expectations of our group and what exactly is our deliverable.
All right, thank you. Moving down, Mikey, do you want to comment real quickly on your
Mike,
likes, dislikes?
Mike, this is Paul. If I could be rude enough to jump in because I really have to drop off the line here in a second.
Please jump ahead, Paul. Mikey, stay in the queue. You're next.
I agree with the approach wholeheartedly. Just so you know, I won't be available for the next 2 years to do this, but that's a bit of sarcastic humor. But, I do agree with the approach. I like the idea of giving us a little runway. I think it's important that we get comments back to you, but I think you hit the core issue is we've got to settle this one way or another with ICANN because certainly as the volunteered spokesperson, I think I would look very foolish going in to a meeting with RFI respondents at this point, just kind of babbling around about I don't really know what the hell's going on.
And I don't want anyone going into a firefight or unarmed or showing up at a gunfight with a knife. So I appreciate that. And again, thanks for taking the time out from your tight schedule today, Mikey. Thank you, Mikey. You have the floor. Final comments.
I agree with everything that's preceded this. I think the one thing that I would add is that as we run our eye down this list of responses, there are a bunch of policy decisions that are reflected in this document that I don't believe the group has made, and I'll write them offline, but it does seem to me that if indeed the responses are due at late November, 3 weeks from now, and we're informing respondents in a week or so, that we've got a real schedule problem here. I don't think that if I were a respondent and I didn't have the answers to these questions until a week before I was required to reply, I think I'd pass. And so you may want to take a look at that final, pushing that final response due date out a little bit, because, you know, it seems like we've got a bunch of events here that when you add them all together, we're out of time.
Mike, yeah, this is Craig, and I think thinking about pushing out that date is completely reasonable. I was trying to get it in before the Thanksgiving holiday and before a lot of us shipped off to Columbia for the ICANN meeting. But I do agree that we want to do this the best way possible. And if it means pushing out the date a few weeks to give folks the right amount of time to generate, you know, thoughtful and thorough responses, then that's the way we should go.
All right, and you have my full support there, Craig. I think we've always wanted to do it right. That has always been our mission. So again, let's see, Lynn, Paul, Mikey, John.
I've got nothing more to add. I think that time frame that we've set forth and the flexibility is a good thing.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Mike, once again, I apologize that I didn't CC the group on my response on the seal, but I feel very strongly that that's going to play a significant role in the overall success of this. I know it ties to the RFP and whatnot, but I think no matter what we do, I would like to see us as a group push for under what circumstances a seal might work towards an outcome from the group, whether it's sort of a pseudo accountability like WIPO has on the UDRP process, that there's sort of an accredited group of people who can provide that service, and there'd be some seal tied to that. I think without such connection or nexus with ICANN on this outcome, that we're not going to see a lot of meaningful benefit from our efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. And have I? I think I've let everybody spoke. Is there anyone that I have missed aside from ICANN staff, Dave and Craig? Okay. So I guess if I could just go back to you, Dave and Craig, with this proposed timeline for the group coming forward and giving you responses by the close of business this week and perhaps scheduling a call with ICANN legal counsel next week, do you have any objections or major concerns, or is this something that we can collectively move forward on?
I think everything that the group has outlined just on today's call, I think, is fine, and I'm comfortable with it.
All right, thank you. And again, I just want to thank Dave and Craig as well as Legal for drafting this, providing this initial draft to the group. And again, I and the other members will get back to you by the end of the week to allow you to move forward. So thanks again, everyone, for the call. It was productive, and look forward to moving ahead with the project. Call's over. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Michael.